Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Psalm 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalms 104. Children, please stand for Bible class. Before we begin, we need to take a moment to get back in fellowship, just in case we're not. It's always a safe thing to do. For us as believers in Jesus Christ, we take a one decision to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and after that we make thousands of decisions. And through those decisions, we need to continue to glorify God. In order to do that, we have to be in fellowship. So let's take a moment to confess our sins to God, and we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us the time on this earth to grow spiritually and learn more about your plan. We thank you for your blessings and your grace on us. We also ask for guidance during this time and understanding in your word. We just pray for concentration and retention so we can use it in our lives, in this life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, so we made it to part three of Blessed in Christ in Ephesians 1:3. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians 1:3 if you like, but we're still jumping around a bit, so I don't want to lie to you just yet, so you might want to just keep your fingers warm. So on Sunday, the last class, that's kind of where we entered the topic was at Hebrews 11:6, where it says, God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And that's because we had to find out the manner in which we seek. And it told us the manner in which we seek. And one thing about that is it reminded me and others that the Word of God is our only standard that we have that's absolute truth. So we use the Word of God as a guide for our life, and this verse was no exception to that rule. And because of that, it showed us how to continue after salvation and how to keep following that path and how to seek that out. And what it told us was a few things. The seek out, there was a certain effort on each one of our parts of each individual believer. So part of that was an effort to find and to learn. And the second part was to apply ourselves to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that does take effort on the part of the believer. That doesn't mean you're responsible for the blessings, but it does mean that you're responsible to take part in the plan. There is a responsibility. I didn't want to leave you hanging and just, we can't just kick back and watch TV. Just wanted to throw that out there. So there's a carefulness to it. There's a strong desire to know what his word says. And afterwards, there's a follow-up. We have to follow up with that. We can't just come and sit, learn, and that's the end of it. We have to follow up with that outside once we get outside these doors. This is our time to relax, time to learn. But when the doors, when we leave here, that's when the game time happens. That's when the fun starts. So let's take advantage of this time and learn as much as we can. So all this has to include two things. It has to include humility, and it has to include objectivity. Those two things must be the order of our day in order to serve Jesus Christ. So that tells me a couple things. We have to, in order to stay open to what the Word says, we have to be humble. We have to stay humble. And the only way we can do that is to submit to God Himself. And we do that through the filling of the Holy Spirit. In the most basic submission as a Christian, it's through fellowship with God. So if we stay consistent with that, we can stay open to what His Word tells us. And that's important because, you know, we all come to the table with various theological views. We come with things that our parents taught us from as children. And we have things that are ingrained in us. And a lot of times the Word of God tells us something different. So we have to be open to what it says and able to accept it and make a decision that maybe what I thought isn't necessarily right, but what the Word of God says is. And that's a process. Some people come with more, some people come with less. But the point is, be open. Be open to what the Word says. Always be open. If it's telling us something and it's clearly telling us what to do and how to do it, let's accept that and move forward. So, and that's a normal thing. That's a normal thing. So the point is just stay open and to stay objective in your thinking. There's not necessarily anything wrong with tradition at all, or even what you're used to. But when it doesn't agree with the Word of God, that's when we have to draw the line in the sand. So sometimes, you know, you'll see various denominations, how the tradition rises above the Word of God. And all of a sudden, what you're left with is tradition. And the truth falls by the wayside. So if we stay true to the Word by being humble and objective, we can accept, be open to the truth. And it's very sad for me to see certain individuals that are not open to the Word. They're very positive. They're on fire for the Lord. And they're growing and learning consistently. And they might hear one thing, and they're gone. They run. They leave. And it's just because it doesn't agree with what they grew up knowing or thinking or their own theological views. And it's very sad for me to see that because what happens is they've been tricked. They've seen something that they have right in front of it that's truth. And they hear one thing, and they're gone. And I've seen that many times, and it's a sad thing for me because you want people to be positive to the truth. And it's my deepest desire, and all the pastors and teachers here, to find out what the Word of God has to tell us and get that out. Tell people what that says. Get the truth out. And if we're wrong, let's go back and find out what's right. What does the Word of God say? Because we are human and we do make mistakes. But the thing about it is we're not trying to make mistakes. We want to know what the Word of God says. So all that to say that there is a responsibility on the part of the believer for rewards. And that's what we're talking about is blessings and rewards at the moment. So we're not responsible for receiving them, but we do have a responsibility. We grow and God works out the details. So that responsibility is rooted in two functions for us as Christians. It's our royal priesthood and our royal ambassadorship. And no, I'm not getting off topic, but I think this is included in this because this does include who we are as Christians. So, and this is unique to us. It's a special thing. This isn't in any previous dispensation. We don't have to bring our goat to church and meet with an individual priest, and thank God. But we do have an individual priesthood, and that makes us responsible as believers to God Himself. And as a result of maintaining and being responsible in our relationship with God, the natural fallout of that is that we present God to others. The ambassadorship doesn't come before your relationship. Your relationship with God is always first. Presenting God to others is a natural fallout if you are consistently maintaining your relationship with God, your spiritual growth. So our priesthood is our responsibility on each one of us to continuously represent ourselves before God. And remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we're a new spiritual species, which means for me and you that new spiritual species is designed to be living inside the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are capable of that. We are capable of walking this earth with divine power. And that's big. And there's no happiness apart from any of this, what we just talked about. Remember, we're on blessings and happiness, and that's kind of where we left off at. But there can be none of that without a responsibility from the believer. And that happiness that we were talking about is the authentic happiness. This is remember we said the two different kinds of blessings. There was the pseudo blessing and there was the blessings from God. He's got the monopoly on the blessings. So He provides the benefit, He does all the work, and He deploys the blessings. So He's the source. Remember we talked about that. So He's the only provider of true blessings. All we can produce is the counterfeit. So what does that mean for us? Well, we said that it excludes any human ability. It excludes anything we can add to the equation as far as receiving those blessings. So there's no place for human talent or human ability. God can only depend on Himself, and He does that by allowing us to have His mind and His Holy Spirit in us, working through us. So the difference is that one contributes to our happiness and one doesn't. One is lasting and one isn't. And remember, this is the two different types of blessings and happiness. One, we are left wanting, and one, we are left satisfied. So let's talk about the two different kinds of happiness just for a little bit longer. Because we know there's a satisfying version of that, which is divine from God. And we also know that there is one that leaves us wanting more. So, true happiness is related only to the soul and the spirit, not the physical at all. And notice I said spirit in that. Soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. As people, we've been hand-selected. We were born. We came into this world. Yet we were born with what? Two things, a body and a soul. The key here is true happiness depends on soul and spirit and, of course, body. So what does that mean? Unbelievers aren't included in this happiness that we're talking about. Now, does that mean it's not available or they don't have access to it? Not at all. What it means is that the only thing that they know is the counterfeit. The only thing they know is the seeking. And I think for us, that's an important thing to know. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we see individuals around us constantly seeking and not finding. And the first thing that I would do as a logical thinking individual was question myself first. That's the first place I would go. If I'm always seeking and I'm never satisfied, the first place I would go is me. Am I positive? Am I growing? Am I continuing in the Word? Okay, check. We got that part. The next place to look, and I'm talking about the majority. When we walk out these doors, I'm talking about believers that are seeking not the divine. Something's wrong. They're a believer. They have free access to what we're talking about. True happiness and to wait on these blessings from God. They have it available, but they're not looking in the right direction. So first question myself, are they growing spiritually? And number two, I would question my church. And really, this doesn't apply for you as individuals here because the Word of God is taught at this church. But what I'm telling you is that everyone else needs to question first themselves and next, is the Word of God being taught at their church? Because if it is, what's the holdup? Well, honestly, what's the holdup? We have spiritual food. We have a believer in Jesus Christ. A natural result of this is an understanding. And when we see people in this church have an understanding of death and how to think about that from a divine perspective versus a believer in Jesus Christ that has no clue about any of this stuff, and they're stressed out, they're blaming God, they don't have a clue. The first question I would look to is first myself and next my church. That's number one. And number two. Something, you're getting gypped. They're getting gypped is what's happening. Because they should be able to be just as happy as you and I can. There's no reason why they can't. It's all here. It's free, freely available. So the subtlety in this is that these things that they seek may provide some temporary relief. And they do provide temporary relief. We know that as believers. They provide the temporary relief. But on the other side of that, it's not lasting. And we talked about that. And I just wanted to have a little laundry list here that some of these things include. And we need to look at this and just read them off. So some of these things include that we seek but aren't lasting are praise and approval from others, travel, health, pleasure, social life, sexual life, fame, material things, money, success, and circumstances in general. Did I get everybody in that one? It's all I got. So the subtlety is that, once again, these will provide temporary relief. But the problem is they don't last. They don't last. And we can go through this list and go look back in our lives and individual times and say, yes, I sought that for years. I sought these things for years in my life. See the subtlety? We got sidetracked. So, just to reiterate that if we depend on any of these for our happiness, we don't have true happiness. We can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. But on the other hand, if you continually seek Him, which results in these blessings, the authentic blessings and happiness that we've talked about, then you have something that can sustain you and also expand your spiritual growth. And that's the key here. Not only expand your happiness, but expand your spiritual growth. And that's big. Because when we think of just blessings in general, we think, yay, I get to have some fun. I get to have a good time. But what is the word telling us? We'll see in a minute that we're talking about spiritual blessings here. And I'm leaving y'all in the dust on this. We're talking about spiritual blessings here. So there's a spiritual aspect that we have to include that God is trying to tell us about here. These aren't just meant to make us happy and that's it. Even though they do that, that's not their sole purpose. So the noun, we're on the third blessing here. You see it right here. The noun is telling us, first of all, the source of the blessing. Where are they coming from? And we talked about that. God Himself. He's spiritual. John 4:24 tells us God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So we do know, and we did mention that God has the monopoly on these blessings. So what is that? Another thing that tells me is that when we see others and we see their blessings and we say, man, I want that. I wish I had that. You know, we see these things and wonder, what if I could have that? I would be happy. You have to remember the two different kinds of blessings. Do you really want what they have? Because what comes with the pseudo, the false blessing, remember, frustration, dissatisfaction, discontentment, worry, fear, etc. So when we see these things, we have to realize that the majority is not seeking a direction to receive the contentment that we're looking for here. Okay? So when we see these things, you have to ask yourself, do you really want the frustration and dissatisfaction that comes with that person's blessings? Okay? Because we always just see the surface. It's not, you have to look at what's underneath. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's a possibility. So we're talking about two different kinds of happiness. And that's important in our understanding and our witness to others. And our contentment as believers in Jesus Christ begins at the point of salvation for us. And as I was going through this, the verse that came to my mind was John 4:13. It says, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And her response was, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Now she's still focused on the physical water here. She's saying, give it to me. I want that water. Where's this water that I never have to thirst on again? But the funny thing about that is, if she knew what he was really talking about, she would have replied the exact same way. She would have said, give it to me. I want it. Right? So she was still seeking the physical, but the principle still holds. Something that never allows us to want anymore, we have a deep desire for. She wanted the water that where she wouldn't ever thirst again. And what he was offering her was just that, eternal life. No more thirsting. So it starts there, and the potential only continues. Eternal life is secured. That satisfaction, contentment, is a done deal. You will never thirst in that area. But you can still, I don't want to use that word thirst again, you can still have a discontentment as a believer in Jesus Christ. You can. So don't just stop with salvation. Continue into the supply of grace that God continuously provides us through His Word. So we're never left thirsty unless we choose to be thirsty. That's sad but true. We're not left thirsty unless we choose to be thirsty. So God's system is a perfect system. And it doesn't intend for us to ever be worried. It doesn't ever intend for us to be stressed, unhappy, or dissatisfied. In fact, it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. And this is what this never thirst and this contentment that we're talking about is. But that's what we see everywhere. It's what we see. A hunger, a thirsting and a seeking other things, a discontentment. And you wonder, are we going to wake up from the cosmic sleep that everyone in the world is in, right? And we do have a hope that one day maybe they will turn in a different direction and wake up. So it's all in the desire. What do you desire? If you are willing to drink, the water is always available. So God clearly shows us, we see here, that there's two kinds of happiness. We also see His Word is absolutely free to find these things out. No price can contain grace. We can't purchase grace. Grace bought us. And there's another aspect of this blessing. They never go away. They never go away. A spiritual blessing for a growing believer in Jesus Christ is designed not only for your benefit, but also for God's glorification. And why is that important for us? Because when we leave this earth, we are judged. And how are we judged? If sin is coming to your mind, it shouldn't. Sin has already been taken care of, remember? We're judged by what we did, our deeds. 1 Corinthians 3:9. And I'm going to read a little good little section of this because I think we need to hear it. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become evident, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So a distinction that we need to make is the physical blessings, we can't take them with us. We can't take them with us. But these blessings that we have from God are opportunities for us as believers in Jesus Christ to gain divine good. They're hotbeds for us to gain divine good. So blessings are given by God and are specifically designed to be received with the capability or capacity, we said, from His spiritual resources that we have available, which then allows us to produce divine good and glorify Him. That was a mouthful. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Blessings are given by God and are specifically designed to be received with the capacity from His spiritual resources that we have available, which then allows us to produce divine good and glorify Him. All this while enjoying the blessing and being completely and totally satisfied that He chose this blessing and the timing of when He chose it for us. So, the two different kinds of blessings we need to keep in mind. One is fading, fleeting, no contentment, no happiness. Divine blessings from God means a couple of things for us. It's an opportunity for us to expand in our spiritual growth. Glorify God in this time, in this blessing. The blessing isn't just meant for your benefit and that's it. It's meant for God's glory. And that's the piece that we tend to leave out. Because when we leave God on the sidelines, what happens is the priorities shift from God to the blessing. So from a blessing to a greater blessing, that can't happen apart from God. A blessing from God, we have available to us, we have the opportunity to expand on that infinitely. Think about that. We have a blessing and we're continuing to grow spiritually. What happens when you continually grow and are filled with the Holy Spirit in the blessing that God gave you? You can only increase your own blessings and glorify God in the process. It can only keep giving. It's the grace aspect of the blessing that's missing in the physical blessing. It doesn't give back. This blessing that God gives, it keeps giving back. It'll keep giving back and keep giving back. And on top of that, you take this blessing with you. Not the physical aspect of the blessing, the spiritual aspect of the blessing. Remember, that's what we're judged by. And I'm going to have some wood, hay, and stubble just like you are. But the goal is to have as many precious stones, divine good, as we can. And what an opportunity to do that in blessing. It doesn't have to always be learning through discipline. It can be growing and glorifying God in the blessing too. And now we finally get to move on to Ephesians 2:6. And I'll close here, but this next topic will be raised up and seated in Christ. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us things that we can't get from anywhere else. We pray for focus. We pray for the strength to get through these days. And most of all, we pray for your grace. We'd like to also make known that you provided the one and only solution for our fallen state in sin. We had no way out of that sin. We were dead in our sin, but you provided a solution because you loved us. You provided the only solution, the only qualified solution that could come to this earth and die for those sins, take the penalty for us on our behalf. We should have been the ones taking a penalty, but we didn't have to because we weren't qualified, first of all, and second of all, because it wouldn't have satisfied your righteousness. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins and making it so freely available. Your scripture tells us all we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved. Thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.